2 Corinthians chapter 12. There may be some things this morning that you've not heard in a church service before, but this morning I'm preaching on the third heaven. Comes right from our text. We'll read the first six verses of 2 Corinthians. And this is a story about a man that went to heaven and came back. Maybe you've heard of another story. There was someone that went to hell and came back. And, you know, I would say this. If you don't believe there's a heaven and a hell, you know, most people, they wouldn't be in church if they didn't believe that. But a lot of times people believe in heaven, but they don't believe in a hell. But both places are just as real. And you're going to go to one of those places when you leave your body. And I hope you know which one you're headed to. I hope it's not a guess so. I've witnessed to a lot of people before that have told me, I said, are you going to heaven when you die? And they say, well, I hope so. You know, that's too big of a eternal consequence for you to hope so. And I've heard people say, well, you can't know. Well, you can. The Bible gives the answer to those things and shows us people that have been to both places and have come back and talked about it. And so one of those experiences here this morning, and I'm glad this morning that I'm saved. I sang with my heart saved by the blood of the crucified one. I know that I'm saved. And there is something better than this world for all saved people. And there's a better home than the one that we live in if you're saved. And heaven is a very real place. And if you're saved this morning, you ought to be looking forward to that move. You ought to be excited about that move. A lot of people look more forward to a vacation than they would going to heaven. And they get all excited about the days that lead up to that vacation. Oh, I'm going to the beach. I'm going to the mountains. I'm going to Disney World. Or wherever. And yet, you know, for God's people, we're leading up to the best place that you could ever go to in the universe. And so there ought to be some excitement and expectation and gladness about that move. And so let's read this story of the third heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 1, the Bible says, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. The Apostle Paul has spent chapter 11, if you want to call it so, bragging or boasting in a way, because he's trying to save the Corinthians from being deceived by others that they are impressed with. And so he lists so many qualifications of things in chapter 11 that God used him to do, and it should have impressed them about his life and ministry to the point that they would have listened to him instead of being impressed with some worldly or false minister or false idea. And we preached about all that, how people today are so impressed with things that don't matter. I tell you one thing that would be impressive, if somebody came up to you and said, I've been to heaven and back, that should be impressive. And now, I would, if somebody did that with me, I'd say they're lying, of course. But this man wasn't lying. You know why you know he's not lying? Because he wrote it in the Bible. If it was a lie, God wouldn't have let him write it in the Bible. God doesn't let people write lies in the Bible. So this is a true story. And he's trying to make an impression on the Corinthian people to listen to him as he preaches to them the Word of God. And so he gives this little last impressionable thing to them so they'll understand, hey, you're not just you're listening to the one God wants you to listen to. I've been to heaven back and I've got a message for you and I want you to listen. And I've never been to heaven, I tell you, church, but I've got a Bible that's full of a description that those that have been, and I'm preaching the same book that they preached. And don't be impressed with the vain philosophies of this world. Would he be impressed with the eternal things that God's put in this book? And so he starts verse 1. He says, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. He said, I'm going to stop glorying in all these experiences of life and service and in myself and things that I've done and that he's been talking about in chapter 11. He says, it's not expedient for me. It's not good that I keep going in this way. He says, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He said, now I'm not going to talk about what I've done, but I'm going to talk about what God has shown me. I'm going to talk about what God has told me and what God has revealed to me, not things that I have done. He says in verse number 5, even about this experience of going to heaven, he says in verse 5, of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory. I'd say if you went to heaven in black, you'd probably brag about it. He said, I'm not going to brag about it. He didn't write a book and get it published and put it on the New York bestseller list about all the things I saw when I went to heaven. He didn't do that. He didn't glory in himself about even his experience. You know, a lot of people glory in their experiences. That means everything to them. Look at verse 5, though. He says, I'm not going to glory in that. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Wow, what an outlook of life death brought to the Apostle Paul. You know, he died more than one time. And came back. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 says that just in the previous chapter. He says, in deaths oft. He had died on more than one occasion. He'd given his life for the Lord. You're talking about people giving. What if you were able to give your life for Jesus more than one time? Wouldn't that be a thing? And that's what the Apostle Paul did. God raised him from the dead so he'd keep preaching. He wasn't through with him. And by the way, you're not going to leave this world until God's through with you unless you shorten your own days because of your sin or stupidity. So this man right here, he has a different perspective of life. He says, I'm going to glory in my infirmities. Why? Because Jesus is going to be exalted. We'll preach on that sometime down the road in verse 7, 8, 9, how Christ will be exalted through his infirmity. Paul is all about Jesus getting glory and Jesus being exalted. He's not just trying to get you to think about him or even his experience. He's trying to get people to think about Christ. It would have been normal for someone to glory in this experience. It would have been normal for someone to focus all their attention for the rest of their time, only talk about their trip to heaven. But you know what the Bible said there in verse number 2? He said this happened 14 years ago, and he's just now getting around talking about it. Isn't that amazing? If you went to heaven, do you think it'd take 14 years for you to talk to people about it? You know why he did that? Because he didn't want people to get infatuated with his own life or his own experience. He wanted them enveloped and infatuated and in love with the truth of God and God's word that God was trying to speak to them. He wasn't trying to impress them. He wanted them to be saved. He wanted them to be hungry for the Bible and the truth in their life and not hungry for some experience. It took him 14 years to tell about this story. He said in verse number 6, for though I would desire to glory, I mean, that would be natural, isn't it? He said, man, I want to glory in it. I mean, if you went to heaven, you'd want to do that. It's just a natural thing to do. He said, though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. Watch it. For I will say the truth. You ought to underline that. You know what the world needs? The world doesn't really need to hear stories about people's experience. They need to hear the truth. They need to hear the Bible. You know, we've got a lot of people that are more desirous for an experience than they are the truth of the Word of God for their day-to-day life. He said, though I would desire to glory, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to tell you the truth. He says also in verse 6, but now I forbear. He didn't even go into all of the story very much. I mean, we read 6 verses and you didn't really hear much about the trip to heaven, did you? You just heard that he took one. But he says in verse 6, end of verse 6, but now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be or that he heareth of me. He said, I don't want anybody to think of me higher than I really am. I'd say if you met somebody that went to heaven and back and they really did, they would be way up there on your list of people to talk to or spend time with. But the Apostle Paul said, that's not my desire. My desire is not for myself to be exalted or even my experience to be exalted, but my desire is for the truth to be brought to your hearts and to your minds. Now let's get into this story. He said in verse number 2, in verse 1 he talks about visions and revelations. There's an unknown aspect to this. There's something that is uncertain here. And let me say this, any experience that you had, I've talked to a lot of people about their soul, and some of them give me some experience that they've had. And I tell you what, you may have a right, you may have a good understanding of whatever experience you've had or not had, but it's still an uncertain thing. You know, the only thing that's certain, the only thing that's 100% sure is this book. Amen. That's the only thing. You can't count on your experience, but you can count on what this book says. Amen. Now, watch this. Watch how Paul writes this. Verse 2. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. He says, I had this experience, but he said, you know, I'm uncertain about some of it. He said, I don't know if I was in the body or out of the body. Isn't that strange? He said, I don't know if I was in my body or out of... You know, some of you this morning, you think that your body is all there is to you. There's another part of you that one day is going to leave your body and is going to go somewhere. You ever heard people talking about out-of-body experiences? One of these days, every one of you is going to have an out-of-body experience. If you have, even if you get caught up in the rapture, you're going to have a different body. You're not going to have the body you've got now. But if you, when you die, you are going to leave your body. And Paul said, I experienced something pretty wild about 14 years ago, and I don't know if I was in my body or if I was out of my body. But what happened was, he said, verse 3, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows. He said, who I met and who I saw and the things I experienced, I don't know if I was in my body or not. I could have been out of my body. Some of you freaked out when you heard about Brother Mullins talking about being out of his body when he died on the table there. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I'm not doubting his word. But I'm telling you this, one day you're going to leave your body. And he experienced everything like he was still in his body after he died. He says in this text. So either he had this vision like Ezekiel, you know, the Bible even said Ezekiel had a bodily vision. God, have y'all read that in Ezekiel 8? God grabbed him by the nap of his hair. Grabbed him by his hair and picked him up and carried him away. Have you read in the book of Revelation how the Bible says the Spirit of God called up John and he took him away? One part he took him to the wilderness. He took him up there to look around heaven, just like this text here says, such an one called up under the third heaven. He said, I don't know if I was in the body or out of the body, but I was called up and I saw a man. Now, he could be speaking in third person here, you people that understand literature and how people write. He could be writing in the third person. This man could be himself. It could be an angelic accompaniment as he left his body. But he said, I don't even know what it was. You know, there's a lot of uncertainties in life. I tell you what, I wouldn't base my salvation on your experience. There's some uncertainty there. Now, you can quiz Brother Mullins, and I don't doubt that what he said was true, but I bet there's a lot of uncertainties in his mind about that whole thing. He wasn't sure what was going on. But one of these days you are going to leave your body. And by the way, you can go bodily to heaven. Paul may have went bodily to heaven. He said, I don't know if I'm in the body. If he doesn't know, I don't know. You know, he said, God knows. You know, there have been people that went to heaven in their body. Enoch went to heaven in his body. Elijah went to heaven in his body. How about that? Went all the way up to heaven. And I wouldn't be surprised if God allowed Paul. He said, I may have been in my body. I may have been out of my body. But one of these days, you're going to step out of your body. Where are you going to be? And he's talking with this man. And let me say this. When we leave our bodies, it's our soul, the part on the inside of us. And by the way, God could have had him leave his body and his body still been alive. God could have done all kinds of things there. Because you're a spirit and a soul and a body. And that soul has a shape. You remember when God talks about that rich man in hell? You remember that in Luke 16? The Bible says he lifted up his what? He's not in the hell bodily. His soul is in hell. The Bible said he died. They're putting his body in the ground, but his soul goes to hell. And the Bible said he lifted up his eyes and he said, Father Abraham, he's seen. He said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip his, what? Wait a minute, he's looking over there at Lazarus. Lazarus is dead too. But he says, dip his finger. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about somebody that's left their body, still talking about having a finger, still talking about having eyes. And then he said, dip his finger that he may cool my what? My tongue. You know what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 6? He let John go up there and look around in heaven. And the Bible says that John saw the souls of those that had been beheaded for the Lord. He saw their souls, not their body. And the Bible said he let them be clothed in robes. God clothed them in white robes. He could see a shape, a bodily shape, though it wasn't their body, it was their soul out of their body. I'm telling you, you've got the part of you on the inside, and that's what people understand. They think everything is their body. You've got something more real than your body on the inside of your body. And it's got a shape. How about 1 Samuel 28? Have you ever read that story where God brought up, allowed this witch to bring up Samuel after he had died? Some have said, oh, that wasn't Samuel. Read the Bible. It said, and Samuel said. That's what God said. You know what it said about him? It said, an old man cometh up. Well, that sort of dispels a rumor after we die that we're in a different shape or form. Are you listening to me? He died, and Saul's talking to him, and he's an old man. The Bible says he was covered with a mantle. Well, he's not in the body, but he's covered. I'm saying there is something just as real as your body on the inside of you, and it's either going to be with God in his heaven, or it's going to be in hell in torments. And there's a shape to it, and there's experiences to it. And there's sight to it. And there's senses to it. And my question is, are you ready to move out of your body? And where are you going? How do you even know? Paul says, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. I know one day the Bible says, this one that's caught up into the third heaven, I know the promise is given to everybody that's saved and has trusted Christ as Savior. One day we're going to be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be. And that'll be bodily. I know that's going to happen. And I know that there's going to be a change taking place. And I'm ready to move locations. But there was a lot of unknown. People still have a lot of unknown about death and life. And you'd think that they would try to go to the book that has all the answers. Look, the one that created everything. He created the world. He created you. He created heaven. He created hell. Why wouldn't we go to God and say, God, would you give me some answers? Because before I'm through this morning, I'm going to tell you how to get to the third heaven from Ardmore. Amen. Look what happened to him, verse 4. how that he was caught up into paradise. And heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. You know, I'd say this. What, you know, that's almost a temptation. That's almost a cruel thing to tell somebody, I went to heaven, but I can't tell you about it. Wouldn't that be terrible? I know things I can't talk to you about. You'll just have to wait and get there yourself. Or you'll have to make preparations so that you can go there yourself and experience. There's things. I was caught up third heaven, and I can't tell you. It's a secret. I can't talk to you about the things that I saw. I can't talk to you about the things that I heard. There are some secrets up there, and I can't even share them. I can't even tell you about it. God told Daniel. Daniel saw some things he couldn't write about. Now, the Apostle John, he told us a whole bunch of things about heaven to end the Bible and made a whole list of it. But the Apostle Paul said, I was caught up into paradise. You know, that word's three times in the Bible, paradise. Once here, once with Jesus on the cross. You remember that? And then once in the book of Revelation. Now, this third heaven, look at the Bible, he said, caught up into paradise. And that's in the third heaven. You see verse 2, one caught up to the third heaven. So paradise is in the third heaven. Now, in Revelation chapter 2, let's find out about paradise. Why do you use paradise there? In Revelation chapter 2, and you remember the thief on the cross, the one that was on the right side of Calvary, he called out to Jesus Christ. He said, remember me, Lord, when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today. So Jesus went to paradise that day. Is everybody with me? Jesus went to paradise the day he died. But he did not go to heaven the day he died. The Bible said he went down to the heart of the earth. And he led captivity captive. And 3 days later, of course, then he's ascending up to heaven. And he makes that atonement with his blood for our soul. And he leads a whole group of people up there. That whole group of people that was down there in paradise. That was down there in Abraham's bosom. Remember, Lazarus was comforted down there. When people died before the cross, they did not go to heaven. You know why? Their sins weren't paid for yet. You don't get into heaven without your sins being paid for. And so we find here that Jesus tells the thief on the cross, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And so down he went, down that lower part of the earth. Well, then where's paradise now? What happened to it? In Revelation chapter 2, the Bible says in verse number 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So let's get some more information about this paradise. It's a place of comfort. It's the opposite of hell. It's the place that Jesus went to after he died. It's the place he took the thief with him. And in the middle of that paradise is the tree of life. Now, where is that tree of life? In Revelation chapter 22, God tells you where that tree of life is. Chapter 21 of Revelation is a description about heaven. And in chapter 22, he continues that description, and he says in Revelation 22:1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on the other side of the river, was there the tree of life. And the Bible says there's no curse there, and the throne of the Lamb's there. And so up in heaven where the throne of God is, that the Bible says there's the tree of life that's there. That's the paradise, and it's in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, I'm not 100% sure about this, but I know where the tree of life used to be. The tree of life used to be in the Garden of Eden that God made. Wouldn't you think that was a paradise? No sin. No pain, no sickness, perfect bodies, no curse, no fussing, no fighting, no graveyards, no sin at all, just a perfect paradise, perfect temperature. It never even rained. Not a rainy day. Never a rainy day. Never a cloud. Never a storm. Never a hurricane. Never a tornado. Never a diagnosis of cancer. No rape, no murder. No children abused. Just a perfect environment. Only the love of God. And the animals even got along. Are you listening to me? It was a paradise. Boy, man messed that up, didn't he? And you know, you don't ever hear about the tree of life after that. God runs man out of the garden when he sinned. And the cherubims are there guarding that tree of life. But what happened to that tree of life? God says it's in the midst. It is in the midst of the paradise of God. You know where it was when Jesus died? It was that tree of life was down there in paradise. And then we get to the book of Revelation. That tree of life is in the paradise of God. And now we read about it being up there at the throne of God. When Jesus went down the heart of this earth and he led captivity captive and he took all of Abraham's bosom and all those people that were comforted and he took the paradise of God and he took it all away. I tell you what a powerful Savior that can not only take people to the third heaven but can also take paradise to the third heaven and take the tree of life to the third heaven. That's where it is right now. By the way, the Ark of the Covenant's not lost either. I'm getting off subject this morning. There is a real place called paradise. Paul said, I went up there. I looked around. Now, when you think about heaven, you'd have to study Genesis chapter 1. Because our text here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 says that there's three heavens. He was caught up to the third heaven. You know what man's trying to do? Man's trying to populate the second heaven. Elon Musk can have Mars. I'm going farther. They can populate the moon all they want to and go to Saturn and Neptune and try to get to the next galaxy and do all they want to do up there in that big expanse of that second heaven. But people that know Jesus Christ as their Savior, one day they're going to be caught up a much farther, amen, than Alpha Draconis or the sun or the moon or the stars. We're going all the way to a third heaven. Now in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created, I'm not going to embarrass you, I don't want you to say it. Because in the beginning, God created the heaven, just one, and the earth. And then after he did that, he started dividing things. He made a firmament in the midst of the heaven, and he started dividing it. Because you read in Genesis chapter 1, when God talks about heaven, and when we talk about heaven, usually you know people talk about heaven as being where God lives, but that's not the only thing the word means. That's the third heaven. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 1 that those birds fly and the clouds live in the first heaven. The second heaven is where the sun and the moon and the stars live. And yet God says there's a third heaven that's even above that. That's where God lives. You know, man can't even comprehend that. Paul said, I went past the clouds and I went past the sky and I went up into the second heaven and past the sun, moon, and stars and planets, and I went all the way up into the third heaven where God was. And I can't even tell you how wonderful it is. He said, eye hath not seen, to these same Corinthians, he said, eye hath not seen, neither hath ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. He said, it's so wonderful, you've never seen anything to beat. It's so wonderful, you've never heard anything. It's so wonderful, you can't even imagine it. If you tried to imagine heaven, it's so much more than that. And I got to go up there and look at it. What a wonderful place it is. Oh, dear Christian, if that's you. Look, if you know today that that's your home, you ought to be so encouraged. You know, that's how Paul could live the rest of his life, saying, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, and I have a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. He'd already gone up there and looked around. He'd already gone up there and saw it. You can't. If we could have heaven on our mind, we would be such an unstoppable force for Jesus Christ. But we usually don't have heaven on our mind. We've got the earth on our mind. The third heaven is not what we think about. We think about our house and our car and our family and our friends and our problems and our woes. And God says, hey, there's a third heaven. And if you're saved, you go in there and you need to be encouraged and you need to be happy on the journey. Can you imagine somebody going to heaven saying, "Where are you going? I'm going to heaven." I mean, people more excited about that, like I said, going to the beach. Where are you going? "Oh, we're going to the beach." "Where are you going, Simon?" "I'm going to get married." Happy, excited. Are you going to the third heaven? Because some of you don't look like it. Amen. Are you excited about it? We get so enamored and wrapped up with this cruel, cursed world that we forget where our home is. Paul said, I looked around. Can you imagine? I don't know what God let him see. I have a sneaking suspicion that God let him look at the book of life. I'll tell you why. Because of Philippians chapter 4, he mentions two women and he says, "Your names are written in the book of life." Now, either the Holy Ghost told him that or he saw their names there. Because you know what? I don't know if you're saved. You don't know if I'm... I would be a liar if I said David's name is written in heaven. I have no idea. I've never seen the book. But the one that went up there, he wrote to those Philippians. He says, "Greet these two women. Their names are in the book of life." Man, how could you discourage a guy that had seen heaven like that? "Oh, Paul, this is a bad world. It's a hard life. Aren't you discouraged with all your bruises, and they beat you and they've scourged you and they've harmed you and the burns of life?" Yeah, but 14 years ago. Are you listening to me? 14 years ago, I was caught up to the third. "Paul, I think he's going to cut your head off." I bet Paul said, "Hey, guy, I want you to do it right there, real, real fast." He's not afraid to die. You know why people are afraid to die? They don't know they're going to the third heaven. Are you listening to me? They're not ready to die because they don't know where they're going. Paul said, "I was caught up to the third heaven. I was caught up into paradise." If you get to paradise, brother, you're not going to want to leave. You're going to want to stay. All the things that God's provided for us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We've got such things provided for us. Here's my question. How do we get there? How do you get to the third heaven from Ardmore? I'll tell you this. Somebody else will have to take you there. Paul didn't get there on his own. The Bible says he was caught up. Somebody else took him there. John didn't get there on his own. Somebody else took him there. Ezekiel, no, none of these guys. Isaiah, they didn't get there by themselves. Somebody else took them there. John 3:13 says this, "No man hath ascended up to heaven." Nobody can go up there. Somebody else got to take. There's only one that's ascended the hill of the Lord. There's only one that merited an entrance by himself to go from this planet up to the third heaven. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ as they saw him ascend up to his Father from where he had come before. But no man hath ascended up to heaven. Somebody's got to take you there. Well, how do I get taken there? Well, I would say you could probably follow the example of the thief. He got to paradise, didn't he? How did he get to paradise? There were two there. There were two thieves there. I'm telling you, when the other guy died, he didn't go to paradise. He joined that other man down there in hell and lifting up his eyes in torment. What was the difference? One of them was on the right side of the cross. One of them came to the realization that I am a sinner and this man has done nothing amiss, but we're guilty. You know, you'll never get to God's paradise until you understand you're guilty.
Until you understand that Jesus Christ, that He's the sin, there's nothing wrong with Jesus. You don't get to the third heaven thinking there's something wrong with Jesus. You don't get to the third heaven thinking Jesus Christ was just like you and Jesus Christ was a sinner just like you. No, that thief on the cross before he died, he came to realization, this man hath done nothing amiss. He is the sinless, spotless Son of God, and He's the King. And me, I deserve this. I deserve to die. I deserve judgment. Most men will never go to paradise because they never see themselves as deserving of the judgment of God. The thief, he saw himself that way and he said, Lord, he personally, not his mom, not his dad, his dad and mom were not at the foot of the cross saying, Jesus, would you please take our boy here to paradise with you? No, that won't cut it. Personally, he called upon the name of the Lord and he said, Lord, remember me. You know what? He didn't even pray a really good prayer. Are you listening to me? Guys, that's why when I preach about getting saved, it's not your perfect words. It's not making sure it's all just perfectly said right and you've included it. I've checked that box and I've checked that box. You're not reading a prayer. It's your heart calling out to the Lord. All this guy says is to remember Him. He didn't even say to take Him to heaven. Do you see that? He's calling out to the Lord for mercy and for grace in acknowledgement that he's guilty and Jesus Christ is sinless and has done nothing amiss. And Jesus said, today, the right side of the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. You didn't say it perfectly, it didn't matter. I know what your heart wants. And he took that man to paradise. Did you hear me? He took him to paradise. That man could not have gone to paradise on his own. The one in the middle, the one hanging on the tree in agony and blood, was the only one that could get him to paradise. And I tell you this morning, he's the only one that can get you to paradise. Jesus Christ that died for your sins and was buried and rose from the dead that you might be saved, he's the only one that can get you to paradise. How do I get to paradise from Ardmore? The same way that thief got it from a cross dying. How do I get to the third heaven from Ardmore? Well, remember what John 14 says. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. There's a lot to be troubled about, isn't there? Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in... In other words, it's not enough to believe in God. The devils believe in God. You need to believe in me. And if you believe in me, what did he say? He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. That's the third heaven. That's where God lives. I go to prepare a place. If I go and prepare a place, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where is Jesus right now? He is in the third heaven. He is at the right hand of the throne of God. And he says, if you'll believe in me, I'll take you where I am. You said, preacher, we all believe in him. No, I don't believe that. Listen. Some people believe in themselves. Are you listening to me? When I talk to people about Christ, and I have on this campaign that we're going to talk to people about Jesus, and I ask them, are you saved? You know you're going to heaven or you're dying. Well, the first thing that they start doing, and I get so frustrated, and God has to help me because I want to just yell out to them, I can't, because I'm trying to reach them with the gospel. But the first thing they say when I talk to them about their soul, and if they're saved and they're going to heaven, the first thing they do is they tell me where to go, where they go to church. I'm not asking you where you go to church. The first thing they do is tell me when they got baptized. I'm not asking you when you got baptized. The first thing they do is they tell me what kind of good person they are. I don't care how good of a person. Because the truth is that none of us get to the third heaven
by what we've done or where we've gone or the life we've lived. We've got to believe in Him, not believe in us. I don't believe in the Baptist church. I believe in Jesus. I don't believe in my parents' religion. I believe in Jesus. I don't believe in me. The world will be filled. This world is filled with people that will inhabit hell because they think they're good enough to escape hell and have an entrance into heaven because they've not done that bad of a stuff. And they're believing in them. The only way you get to the third heaven, somebody's got to take you there. And you don't get taken there if you're believing in you. You only get taken there if you're believing in Christ. I said this morning when I got on my knees before God, I said, Father, I come to you only in the merits of Jesus Christ. I come to you only accepted in the Beloved. I come to you only because I'm in Him, you see. I have no merit to talk to God. I have no merit to go to God. I have no merit to get into God's heaven. But through Christ, by believing in Christ, by trusting Christ. How do you get to the third heaven from Ardmore? Believe in Him. He said, this is the same book, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, we know if this earthly house of our tabernacle were dissolved, verse 1, we have a building of God, not made with hands. Eternal in the heavens. He knew where he was going. But you know what he went on to say in that text? He said, if any man be in Christ. See, the only way that you can get to the third heaven, the only way you're going to have a place in heaven is if you're in Christ. Not in your sin, not in religion, but in Christ. Not in your good works, but in Christ. Are you in Jesus this morning? If you're not in Jesus, you're not going. And I wish you'd examine your heart. And I wish you'd think about it. It doesn't matter what your experience is. If you're not in Christ Jesus, you're not going. Grab Revelation 3, and I'll get one other text. I'm finished. Thank you for your good attention. This is important, the third heaven. I tell you what, church, I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm not kidding around. If you hear this afternoon that I dropped dead, don't you weep. Just praise the Lord. Because I know I'm going to paradise. I know it. I know how to get there from here. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 1 with Revelation chapter 3. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 first. 1 Peter 1, he says it, verse 4, would you look at that? To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away. Look at your Bible, 1 Peter 1, 4, end of the verse. Reserved what? What does he say? Reserved in heaven for you. Do you have a reservation? You say, who gets to make a reservation? I didn't see that on Airbnb when I checked it. I didn't see that on VRBO or HomeAway. How do you get a reservation there? I've got a reservation there. I have a reservation in the third heaven. How did I get a reservation? Same way these guys got a reservation. How? Look at verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. They were sanctified by the Spirit. They were sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's who He's writing to. People that have been begotten again. They've been born again. And if you've never been born again, you don't have a reservation in heaven. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God. Woo! I'm kept by the power of God. Not by my power, not by somebody else's power, but I've been saved and born again by the Spirit of God, and the power of God's keeping my soul, and the power of God's keeping my reservation. And one day the power of God will take me out of my body if necessary and transport me past the sun, moon, and the stars all the way up where God lives, and I'll sit down where Jesus is because of Him. Look at it. Who are kept by the power of God. What does the verse say? Through faith. Unto salvation. Faith. Faith. How do I get to the third heaven? You get there by faith. He said that in the book of Hebrews. He says you're coming to that innumerable company of angels. You're coming to that heavenly Jerusalem. You're coming to that city of the living God. That church of the firstborn that's going there. He says your names are written in heaven. And that chapter, the book of Hebrews, is all about those people by faith. By faith, they had that relationship with God. And their names were written in heaven. I'm finished. Go to Revelation 3. Do you know how to get to the third heaven from Ardmore? Have you done like the thief? Are you in Christ? Have you been born again? Are you believing in Jesus and not in you? Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, the Bible says this. Him that overcometh. You say, who is the overcomer? The same guy. This is why it's so important to read your Bible all the way through. The same man that just wrote that verse, him that overcometh, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, tells you what an overcomer is. He says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh. Again, going back to second birth. Are you born again or are you just in church? Are you born again or are you just a good person? Are you born again or your parents love Jesus? Are you born again? He said the overcomer, whatsoever is born of God overcometh. This is the victory that overcometh. Even our faith, he says. You put your faith in Jesus and not in you. He'll put you into his family. He'll make you an overcomer. Look at the verse. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. What about that? Does that mean we're going to walk around heaven and if you belong there, there's a pillar there and it's got your name on it? I'm just reading the Bible. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Look at it. And he shall go no more out. And I will write. Look, this is great. Look, this is great. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. You know what God says? God says, you want to get up to my heaven? Well, your name's got to be written up here. And that name that's written in that Lamb's Book of Life, you get your name written in that book, that shows you got a reservation up there. I mean, God keeps records better, amen, than Holiday Inn. And if you've been born again, if you've not been born again, he said, look at that book, look at it again. No, Lord, their name's not here. Sir, you don't have a reservation. Well, my mother and my dad, you don't have a reservation, you don't belong here. What's your name? My name's Sarah. But I've never done anything good in my life. Look up Sarah. See if she's there. Right here. Sarah, your name's in the book. We have a reservation for you. Come on into the third heaven. How? It's by a new birth. And he says, if you're an overcomer, if you're born of God, God does this. He writes upon you the name of his God. That's who you belong to. Amen. Amen. He writes upon you the name of the city of God. That's where you're going. He writes upon you a new name. Do you know how to get to the third heaven from Ardmore? Is God's name written on your heart because you've trusted Christ instead of yourself? Do you know how to get to the third heaven from Ardmore? Have you ever had a time in your life like that thief had that said, I'm guilty, I'm a sinner. But Jesus has done nothing amiss and he's the Savior, Lord. And you called out to him. Had that in your life? As a pastor, I want people to come to church, but I want people to know they're going to heaven when they die. And if you're here this morning, I'm telling you, one of these days you're going to leave your body. And when you leave your body and you look at that body, you're either going to be taken to a devil's hell
Or are you going to be escorted into the presence of God? And Jesus is the only difference.